everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show. We could probably spend the next 10 hours talking about so much going on in the world right now, but we'll telescope it down to a very full hour on this, the first day of June. It's Monday, June 1st, 2020. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030's Voice for trusted news talk worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback with kvoi.com and bring you the live stream, the podcasts, all available nicely archived for you. It's a very simple website. Just put in the search, put in the topic, and it will come up. 24/7, buckmastershow.com, live line number 790-2040. Each Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we've been doing this each Monday since we launched the show nearly 10 full years ago. We kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring one of our teams of commentators. This week, Bruce Ash is on one of the live lines. Mr. Ash, four terms now as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Bruce, how was your weekend?
It was great. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you asking.
Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, I hope you had a safe weekend as well.
We had a, you know, despite the news, we had a, aside from that, had a wonderful weekend. It, I don't know if you know, I'm a NASA junkie. I wanted to be an astronaut since I was a kid, so I was glued to the TV around noontime Saturday watching that launch, and that was just spectacular.
It really was amazing. The Monday Face-Off presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are open for you. Family-owned and run since 1985. Family-owned and run, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, hanging systems, and something else new. They'll even do a virtual design session for you. And, you know, they started during the shutdown with those one-on-one appointments. Well, they've turned out to be very successful. So go to moesgallery.com if you want to go the one-on-one route, or just walk in and say hello to Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, and they will be happy to see you. Before we go to Don and Bruce, I'm going to do a little setup to today's face-off. For the first time in American history, the state of Arizona is under a one-week curfew as Governor Ducey responds to violence in Phoenix and Tucson over the weekend. Arizona joins with at least 25 other cities and states in being under curfew as unrest in 135 cities led to the most violent weekend in America since the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King in 1968. Fueled by a terrible injustice by Minneapolis police officers, anger over depression-level joblessness brought on by the pandemic and associated lockdowns added kindling to the fires of unrest. And I see, Don and Bruce, many parallels to 1968 as race and law and order now are once again pushed to the top of the political agenda. And Don, we will begin with you. Something else I was thinking about over the weekend as I watched NASA and the re-entry of American astronauts into space. That was another odd coincidence about this weekend. While American cities were burning, we had this wonderful news with the launch, and that reminded me of back to 60s, 68, and while we were having our cities burn, we had the very successful Apollo program going on.
We really did. That was kind of the start of the return of the manned missions, and it ended that year, December of 68. Folks will remember that was the first time we had Americans circle the moon, and Apollo 8 there with its really uplifting message on Christmas Eve and all of that. There really are some fascinating and sad parallels, as you say. It was 68, of course, was an election year. You had violence, protest all during the year, including at the Democratic convention. No thanks to Richard Daley there, the mayor of Chicago at the time. And then you had a candidate who was focused on being the law and order candidate and coming across tough and cracking down on protesters, which really there, as you mentioned earlier, exacerbated the race issue. And we are seeing parallels now for, you know, some different reasons that it's come about, but some of the same shocking parallels, and not a lot of confidence that the current leadership in Washington really has any way to deal with it other than resorting to some of the same old responses that created a lot of the divisiveness in the first place.
And
that's the challenge we have today.
And Bruce Ash, it really hit home for me. I was a young freelance photographer. I won't even give you my age, but still in my teens, in outside of the Democratic Convention in my hometown of Chicago, shooting photographs. I've still got some amazing photographs. I'll have to put those together now, but that were taken at Grant Park in Chicago in that very, very tumultuous week in August in 1968. And so, of course, this was all hearkening back to that time. What parallels do you see, Bruce Ash? Do you think I'm onto something here where I do see these strong parallels?
Well, there are parallels. However, Bill and Don, it is dramatically different than what we had in 1968. And first of all, I reject what Don just said, that Richard Nixon stoked the fans and fires of civil unrest. He was not the president. Lyndon Johnson was the president, a Democrat. Richard Daley was the mayor of Chicago. He was a Democrat. And Richard Nixon, since the mood of the country was that we wanted to get back to a more peaceful, a more civil time in our history. It was a dangerous time. I was 16 years old during that 1968 convention, and it was frightening. I watched it every night, and just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it got worse. And it shows in a limited fashion in 1968 what happens when leftist, radical terrorists try to take over an event such as this and try to control the national agenda. This is a far different and a far more sophisticated effort. This is, as Rahm Emanuel would say, you know, there's a way to, you know, exploit every crisis, and whether it was Antifa or some of their other associated operations, or just out and out paid mercenaries. There was a coordinated attempt in numerous cities across the country, most all of them in Democrat-controlled cities where, by the way, blacks and Latinos are in much worse shape than in Republican-governed states. And they took advantage of this, and it will come back and burn the Democratic Socialist Party in this upcoming election.
All right.
If anybody here in Arizona thinks that these protesters have made their point and have won the hearts and minds of Arizonans, they are sadly, sadly mistaken. Violence and looting and destruction and the sorts of things we saw here in Arizona is no answer whatsoever.
Here is Don Jorgensen.
Yes, and you just heard all the Republican talking points, and you'll probably hear those for the rest of the election. But let's look at some of the facts here. What the Republicans are doing is conflating different groups. The first group, and it's really offensive to the peaceful protesters that are protesting the death of this black man, George Floyd. Blacks have, are been the victims of this systemic racism for decades. We refer back to 68, and you can go back farther. And the majority of those protesters are peaceful protesters. We've seen that. While these protests are going on, you have had outside agitators come in. In Minnesota, they identified that 80% of them came from outside those cities. And they're either fomenting additional conflict or creating diversions, et cetera, to try to put to stir up this anger against the peaceful protesters and the black community. We know that's going on. We don't know where they're all coming from. You have the Attorney General Bill Barr immediately coming out saying they're Antifa, which is the Republicans' boogeymen. And, of course, Antifa stands for anti-fascist. So I don't know if that means they're pro-fascist. I'm not going to get into that. But that's who they are. And yet there's no credible evidence for that. There's no identified leadership. If there is and they have it, they need to bring that forward. These people should be held accountable. What there is evidence of, and this came about in Minnesota, was identified there, are white nationalists and far-right terror groups that came in and were fomenting
Name
the
one.
Violence. And there's plenty
Name
of
one.
plenty
Name
of pictures
one.
Of that in
Name
the
one.
Some of the news you've seen.
Name one.
Go back and listen to the governor of Minnesota talk about the arrests where they identified white nationalists. That's one. But they have found that. Go look at the pictures of many of the police flashing white nationalist gang signs, essentially. And there's multiple pictures of those. I can name more than one. You can go online, find those easily.
All right.
So there isn't just one group. There are many groups. And what we need from the Justice Department is to look and identify all the sources of violence, not just put up their boogeymen, because we do need to separate that. And we need to separate that in Arizona as well. Those people who were out looting in Scottsdale Fashion Mall, you saw the pictures, the people looting downtown, those weren't the peaceful protesters. Those were criminals. Let's go find them. But
okay.
To conflate that with folks who have legitimate issues that have been legitimately affected time and time again is just wrong.
All right. Bruce Ash, you will be up to the plate after we take our break. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and, of course, on the web at moesgallery.com. Be right back with Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash with our Monday Political Face-Off.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026, and the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, The number is 795-8226 and on the web at mosgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don Jorgensen on one of our live lines. Don, the former Democratic Party chair here in Pima County, and four-term Republican National Committeeman Bruce Ash, who was also the host of a program here, a very popular program Saturday afternoon called Inside Track, each Saturday from 1 to 2. Some news that's just breaking. The president had a conference call with the nation's governors, Bruce Ash, and the president is urging the governors to get tough with the protesters. I believe the governor, according to the Washington Post, says they should take back the streets and use force to confront the protesters. Any reaction to that, Bruce?
The president's been consistent that law enforcement needs to get in control of the streets again. And there are certain situations in different localities where they may need to have a National Guard involvement. The Democratic Party is very organized. I will share with you what comes out of one of our out counties here in Arizona from a county party. And this is what to do when you go into these kinds of events. Beware of undercovers, but beware snitch jacketing and collaborator peace police even more. The far right is very good at combing through pictures and doxing people. Mask up. Write any necessary phone numbers you may need directly on your skin in Sharpie. Beware of folks inciting violence. Most of them are police feds. Watch out for hookups for the same reason. Get to know the crowd. They will set you up. If you plan on going to jail, plan it. Bail, lawyer, time off work, witnesses, i.e. a cadre. Don't just go to jail without training. Make sure all of your mobile devices are charged. Now, anybody who says that the Democratic Party isn't working as hard as they possibly can to be prepared for not just civil disobedience, but worse action than that, I think this is all you need to hear about.
And what document, Bruce, is this from again? I didn't catch that.
It comes out of one of the out counties here in Arizona through the county Democratic Party in that locality.
All right.
And let me just share one other
real
item
quickly, and then I want to bring Don in.
Yeah. There's no coincidence that after laying the wood to the communist Chinese government on Friday, they were also involved in this activity as well. You're going to see more from the Justice Department and from various law enforcement officials on local as well as national bases. I was actually caught up in San Diego yesterday, protesters walking across the Coronado Bridge, trying to block traffic there and on I-5. The North Island Air Station had to close all the gates. The amphibious base in San Diego had to close down the base there to any kind of traffic at all. This is a serious problem, and the nation's governors need to get in control of this, and they need to get in control of it fast.
And now, Don Jorgensen.
Well, I'll just make one comment about some of that delusional comment. A couple of weeks ago, when Donald Trump was encouraging armed protesters to storm the state house in Michigan, we didn't see any kind of response like this from the Republicans. When Trump was encouraging street uprisings against public health measures, we didn't hear any of this. And in terms of Democrats advising peaceful protesters to be prepared for going to jail. I think we've seen enough of what happens when minorities go and try to protest peacefully, and the response of a lot of these right-wing agitators and the police. You might be interested, because with all this focus of Bill Barr and Trump immediately on Antifa and groups like that, that since 9/11, the violent right-wing extremists in the U.S., these right-wing terrorists, have killed 110 people for political reasons. Do you know how many Antifa supporters have killed for political reasons during that time? Zero. So who are the agitators, and who do we have to worry about here? This is the systemic pattern that we've seen in the U.S., and it's really no surprise now, after over 100,000 deaths from the coronavirus, which affects minorities much greater than whites or the general public, with now 40 million people out of work, which is affecting the poor and the middle class and minorities much more, with another brutal police killing of another black man. It's no surprise that America is in such pain and anger and suffering and grieving. And when your voice isn't heard, this is the only way that many of these folks can get out there. Now, again, no excuse for violence, but protesting in the streets is the only way they found to get heard, because they saw that it worked for the right wing when they wanted to protest not being able to get a haircut a couple of weeks ago. But I guess it's not okay for these minorities now. That doesn't exclude looting and violence, but as we're seeing, that's a different group altogether and needs to be addressed in a different way. But you can't ignore the pain that these Americans have been suffering, and the discrimination they've felt, and the lack of support from law enforcement for decades, and we're seeing it again.
Now it's your turn, Bruce.
Friends, when you listen to a Democrat progressive such as Don Jorgensen, you can assume whatever he is telling you is exactly the opposite of the truth. Facts taken to misinform, facts taken to conflate, facts taken to turn the situation around completely opposite to the way it is in reality. You can believe Don if you wish, okay? Look at what happened in the streets. We saw it right here in Tucson, Arizona. And frankly, the Tucson police, I think, did a very good job here in Tucson being forceful, but making sure that nobody, despite things being thrown at them from rocks to bricks to rotten vegetables and what have you, they held their ground respectfully. And although there was a significant amount of damage, there was no real physical injury to anybody who was involved in these not so peaceful protests. What we need to do going forward is make sure that peaceful protests are honored and peaceful protests is protected by our localities, by the state, and not tolerated once these outsiders and these really, for all intents and purposes, criminals get involved in the activities. What happened, the destruction to the community in Minneapolis is just shameful. In a minority neighborhood where there's already problems with food security, there's already problems with enough banking institutions being in the area, those areas have absolutely been destroyed. A police substation burned to the ground. In Washington, D.C., the other night, you saw the Secret Service and the Capitol Police forcefully, but doing a very good job keeping people who wanted to scale the White House fence and attack the White House. There were multiple reports where people were saying, burn the MF-er down. Okay. This is not peaceful protest. This is unlawful. It is not civil disobedience. It is the type of thuggery that we've seen so often from these people who want to do damage to our civil society here in America.
All right. And Don, you have the final few seconds.
All right. I'm not going to comment on some of those dog whistle terms that we just heard. Let me contrast what we're hearing from our two presidential candidates. In the past 48 hours, Joe Biden met with protesters and listened and talked to them, the peaceful protesters, about the concerns. Yesterday, or today rather, he met with black leaders seeking solutions to dealing with this, looking for a path forward. Whereas we have the president of the United States saying things like, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, quoting a racist sheriff again from several decades ago, and then in the same 25 hours retweeting a Republican who said the only good Democrat is a dead Democrat. So I'll leave it to you to which one of them thrives on conflict and division, which one's the agitator, and which one is looking for a way forward to heal this nation and bring us together. So I think there's only one question that every American should ask. Do you want four more years of this, or do you want four more years of the America that JFK talked about when he said he was founded on the principle that all men are created equal and the rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man like George Floyd are threatened?
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Bruce Ash, thank you very much. And Don Jorgensen, hopefully the next two weeks from now, we'll have you both here back in studio. I can look you in the eyes and say thank you very much. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you,
Take
Bill.
Care. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com. Thank you, Moe, for your long-term support for this dialogue that we have kept going here every Monday for so many years. Let's have the break right now, then General Wickham after the break.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, the go-to place for all of your lovely plants for the garden. So many people taking up gardening as a hobby through the shutdown. A good way to turn to the backyard and make it a little prettier. And Green Things on those 13 acres with amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. At 3384 East River Road. Check it out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, retired four-star general John Wickham Jr., who served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of the UN Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. General Wickham was critically wounded in Vietnam, spent over a year in the hospital recovering. He returned to Vietnam, where he was responsible for negotiating the release of all the American POWs. A 1950 graduate of West Point, the Army Times named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who most changed the Army. General Wickham joins us now on the live line. Always an honor to speak with you, sir. How are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and wonderful to be on your valuable program, which contributes so much wisdom to the public.
General Wickham, our 400-year troubled history with race in this country is once again rearing its ugly head. When you took over as the chief, joint chief of the Army, you had all sorts of issues that you wanted to address when it came to race. Were you successful in attempting to change some of those behaviors?
Yes, I was. I think, Bill, yes, I agree with you. We are facing, in my humble opinion, the worst chaos in American history. And I've been 41 years in uniform, so I've seen a lot of it. And what America needs and deserves is patriotic, committed, and capable leadership that strengthens our democratic institutions rather than undermines them, as is occurring right now. So, and also that strengthens our role as a leader in the world instead of undermining it, as is occurring now. So I'm committed to supporting that, and we need to move better. You're exactly right, Bill. When I became Army Chief of Staff, I was warned that we are not selecting blacks for command of brigades and divisions in accordance with their density in the Army. And I checked into that, and that was true. So I changed the rules, and I personally wrote in the guidance to all selection boards, you will select in accordance with the density in the Army. And the effect was electric. So we got more Colin Powells and people like that to be commanders, and that was, and provide leadership. And also I instituted boards that would get rid of toxic leaders at all levels, major generals and lieutenant generals. It wasn't very popular, as you can imagine, but I released a number of them, scores of them, during my tenure as Army Chief of Staff. Guess what? We're right back now to doing what was done before. So we have toxic leadership, and we have uninformed leadership, and we're making the same mistakes, and we're not selecting blacks to command the way they should and be promoted. So we're not going to see more Colin Powells.
And Colin Powell points to you, General Wickham, as your mentorship meaning so much to him. And in his autobiography, he points out, if it were not for General Wickham, he would not have accomplished what he had in his incredible military career.
That's true, Bill, and I've read the memoir, and others have too, and a wonderful man and capable, and still is doing good work for the Army and for the nation. And as I said, we need more of those people rather than less. But unfortunately, as we've seen in recent days, we're still living with the toxic attitudes towards minorities in this country. And that's terrible. You know, we didn't give women the right to vote until the 1930s. Is another illustration of backward thinking. So I come back to my point. What the nation needs now is informed, patriotic, vigorous, strong leadership that strengthens our democratic institutions and strengthens our role as a leader in the world. And we don't have that now, unfortunately, and we've got to do a better job of that as American people.
How concerned are you with this advisory now, Homeland Security saying Russia and China trying to take advantage of the Minnesota tragedy? That's very, very concerning.
It is. And you know, Bill, in a sense, because we have denied our role as a leader in the world, we've allowed the Chinese to become a leader in Asia. And as you know, the Prime Minister of China is now elected for life. And the same with Russia. We've allowed Russia to take over as sort of a leader in Europe. And Putin basically is a leader in Russia for his life. So we've denied our ability to be a leader in the world. And we need to be much more strengthening rather than denying as we have done. So I think the American people will recognize that. I hope they do. We've had some of this difficulty throughout our history of the world. See that we saw this in the Civil War and how far we've come from the Civil War. So I think we need to recognize our responsibilities in the world and exercise them in a much more vigorous, patriotic, democratic way.
Would you say this is much more dangerous than 1968 because now we have, in the case of Russia and China, state-controlled social media sites that are trying to really add kindling to the flame of American cities burning, General Wickham?
Amen. They are. And they're trying to undermine our elections process to make it less democratic. So we have nations like Russia and China that are capitalizing on the chaos in the world and pushing their own interests. Some of that is their own patriotic attitude, but much of it is because of the absence of quality, strong democratic leadership from the United States. So I'm sorry to have to bring this up, Bill, on your wonderful program, but we need to do this as Americans and be more responsible as citizens and see to it that we have more quality leadership in our country, which we don't have now.
Well, this really brings back some horrible memories for you after you were recovering and came home in uniform from Vietnam. You were spit on in 1968.
That's right, in Grand Central Station, I'm standing next to my father, and a woman, a well-dressed, middle-aged woman, came up to me. I was in uniform, obviously a wounded veteran, and she got within inches of me and spit in my face and called me some of the foulest names that you can imagine. Well, that's happened, and many veterans from Vietnam refused to wear uniforms because they had similar experiences. Now, we've changed. We've come a long way after that awful experience. But we are visiting some of that problem now today in the Midwest we've seen with hatred towards blacks. So that continues to exist in our society. But it comes back to my point. I'm sorry to reaffirm it again and again. But what America needs now is strong, positive leadership that strengthens rather than undermines our democratic institutions and our role as leader in the world.
Well, General Wickham, thank you so much. You sound so strong. This is your birthday month. It's June 1st. Later this month, you'll be turning 92 years old. Incredible.
Well, the good Lord has blessed me with opportunity. You're right, Bill. And I'm deeply grateful for that every single day. Like you, I've been blessed with an angel for a wife. We've been married 26 years, and that's a blessing that you cannot overlook. So you've got your wonderful program, which I'm honored every month to be on.
We're so honored to have you, sir. Thank you very much, General. Take care of yourself. You sound great. Yeah. Thanks.
God bless, Bill.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, Keith Rosenblum with the Mexico Report. The COVID situation in Mexico will be our topic for Keith right after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we, boy, put a lot of content in the hour, and there's still more to come with Keith Rosenblum in the Mexico Report. This portion of the program presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. When you are ready to travel, and many people are right now, and they're looking for road trips. Well, we've got a great idea for you. Just 3 hours from Tucson, looking for something completely different, and I can guarantee you it will be cooler in Silver City, New Mexico, with an elevation of 5,000 to 7,000 feet in the area. You're going to knock about 10 degrees off the temps right away. Visit Southwest New Mexico for more information about where to stay and what to do over in Silver City. Let's welcome now longtime border reporter Keith Rosenblum with the Mexico Report. Keith, how are you?
Hello, Bill. I'm doing pretty well.
The situation with COVID in Mexico, the New York Times this week said that it's being complicated by a health care system that really isn't up to speed. What's the latest? What's going on?
The Mexican system is up to speed for probably 40 to 60 million people. It's actually a system that doesn't have people who fall outside the net unless they want to. That's, but bear in mind, the population of Mexico is 120 million people. So for people who live in urban areas, for people who are mobile, there's no problem getting care. And as I understand it, there, Mexico is at what they register as being 10,000 deaths and something like 100,000 cases, somewhere more or less. But there are lots of people, as in the U.S., you know, we have, if you live in rural North Dakota, there's lots of services that you don't get. And you can argue, well, you were born in rural North Dakota or you moved there for opportunity. So there may be reasons that you, for one reason or another, you're not going to get the same treatment as people who can go to the to a pharmacy. But Mexico, for an awful lot of its citizens, is entirely the care is entirely accessible, and it's within you know, a phone call away. And I go to and from. I've, even in the last 70 days, I've been going to and from Mexico regularly, and I can tell you that the social distancing and all the other precautions that we take up here are as they're as much in use or more so. When I say more so, I mean that when I cross into Mexico now in Nogales, I have someone taking my temperature. I have a National Health Service person right there looking at me and, you know, asking me verbal questions as well. If you take your vehicle into Nogales, the city of Nogales installed what they call, I can't remember the full name of it, but it's a tunnel. And you go through it and you're sprayed. So anyway, it's not as if we're not talking about going into rural Sudan. You know, we're talking about a country that has its act together. And because so much, you know, the United States, I don't know what exactly the stats are, but we're an urban country, okay? So let's say that two-thirds or three-quarters of our people live in or near an urban area. Mexico is still much more agrarian than we are. So you have people living in lots of places of 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 people, lots of people who are in far-flung areas. And for them, and especially then you mix poverty into the equation, and it's a lot tougher to get to an urban hospital or even to a centro de salud, one of the healthcare, you know, government healthcare facilities.
Mexico's outbreak is growing quickly and showing no signs of slowing. Is that correct, Keith Rosenblum?
No, Keith Rosenblum would say it's not. That it actually shows lots of signs. I watched as you probably know by now, Bill, and the only other thing that I listen to religiously, besides yourself, the only program that I hear all the time is the president of Mexico in his morning, they call it the mañanera, the morning accountability. 5 days a week, wherever he is, President López Obrador just talks and talks. Like I'm starting to wish that I could have government that was more closed off from the people. The guy has transparency with an attitude. He's on today for an hour. I was just looking. He was on today for an hour and 48 minutes. Sometimes he goes for passes 2 hours. The guy just talks and talks. He's actually the embodiment of kind of the nightmare of people who are in favor of disclosure, because he keeps disclosing more and more, and he just drones on. And actually, what he does talk about, probably in that hour and 48 minutes, could probably be condensed into about 48 minutes or maybe 48 seconds. He just blathers on. But if you follow Mexico, it's a must to know what he said today. And today he was broadcasting. He had his transmission from the state of Quintana Roo. He had the governor of Quintana Roo next to him. He had his military people. He had his medical people. It's a really good presentation. And anybody that says that they don't know what's going on in Mexico, or they distrust, you know, what the government is saying, would be as well advised to go online, and every day it starts starting, I think, at 6 a.m. our time. You can watch it rebroadcast, though. Put in AMLO for Andrés Manuel López Obrador, and put in Mañanera, or just put in broadcast, and every day you can listen to him. And the guy also is painfully slow the way he speaks. And so you actually can learn your Spanish that way if you haven't learned it, you know, from hanging around Tucson or hanging around the border. And he just goes on and on. So today was not only with all those people around, today is the day, primero de junio, 1st of June. Today's the day that the economy opens up, and they call it the new normal. or something like that. And today is the day where basically the country reopens as an entire, with new rules in place, with a lot of the social distancing in place. Mexico's got its act together, maybe as much or more so than we do. The New York Times or any of the other broadcasts, any of the other media that you appear, are just looking for the same kinds of sensational hook that we have today in the riots of, you know, that are going on throughout the United States. There's always something about, oh, Mexico, this or that. Mexico has lots of really severe problems. I'm not here to apologize for them. I'm just here to offer, hopefully, a sane approach to fact gathering.
Well, Mexico is being compared with Brazil as the hot spots of the Americas by the New York Times.
Oh, well, no. I mean, all I can say is, I mean, I just know lots of people, and I know in Mexico, you know, could be compared to New York. Mexico City's got twice the population of New York City. When people are in that kind of density together, they contact each other. They infect each other. It just happens. And if you go to the rural, you go to Sonora, and you go there, Hermosillo or Obregón or Navajo or Nogales or Magdalena or Santana or San Luis or Agua Prieta, it ain't so. So I'm not one of those people who's got any alarm bells off. And anyway, I'm one of those people who believe that our societal reaction was exaggerated anyway. But that's a topic for another show, and probably one that would get people angry with me.
Keith, the spray, the car goes through the spray, and I think they have them in some of the other border locations. I'm curious, what's in the spray that they...
Well, this is where some secret the Buckmaster PhD in chemistry to come on. I don't know the content of it. I know Jesus. I know the mayor of Nogales. I know he's gone through that spray. I know his family, and I know Arturo Medrano, who's a buddy who's helped to look into it, and the people at Health. I don't know what it is. That is a detail I would be glad to look up and account to you on the next show. I do know that it's benign. I also know that it's caused all sorts of grief because it's meant the traffic is backed up into Nogales, Arizona. It used to be that the only borderways we had to contend with were coming north, you know, and dealing with all the CBP guys. But actually, that same tunnel has caused a headache for people going south. And when I was in Nogales last Friday, maybe, the traffic was backed up way, like up to the Americana Hotel on Grand Avenue, which means like 3/4 of a mile. And because of these practices, it meant that, you know, guess what? We got a southbound delay as well. So if you were bummed out about the wait of 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours to come back into the U.S., you get to be double bummed out by adding on the hour going into Mexico. The last time I went a couple of days ago, that tunnel was it was operating quite smoothly. I wish I knew the answer to your question. I'm sorry I got caught off guard.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to wrap it up. The border is technically still closed or no?
The border is not closed at all. Your homeboy goes through several times a week. It is closed to the people of Mexico to come to the United States unless they can show that they have a reason to. Like, if you just invited your buddies from Nogales to come up and, you know, go to Starbucks where you spend most of your life kicking back, then probably they would say no to them. Like, going to have coffee with Bill Buckmaster is not essential business.
All right. Again.
However, well, we'll deal with that another day. Thanks.
Thank you, Keith. Keith okay. Rosenblum with our Mexico report. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Wow. Very full hour of content for you today. Dave Ramsey talking about money's coming up next. On behalf of John Couch, engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Stay safe. Have a great afternoon.